There was some pleasant feeling.
Memories of the taste and wanting to eat.
Okay. What happened was, when she saw the peanuts, a pleasant feeling arose in her embodiment. And she wanted that pleasant feeling to continue. Okay? And so, she wants to eat the peanuts. So what is happening here? It's not the peanuts that she's reacting to. It's that pleasant feeling that has arisen in her body that she's reacting to. Please try to understand that. It's not the pepperoni cheese pizza that makes us eat. It's that pleasureness that we want to continue, mm-hmm. and so we react.
Did you say that's the anticipation? The anticipation?
It's just our craving. It's our craving for pleasureness. We want pleasureness all the time. We push away unpleasantness all the time.
So if somebody had an allergic reaction to peanuts, they would go like this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the aversion.
Aversion. Mm-hmm. So it is with everything else. If somebody criticizes you, for example, what do you feel?
Martial artist. Or huh? Discomfort.
You feel sometimes unpleasant. Mm-hmm. You feel like arguing back or even hitting. You know, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the person who's criticizing you that you're reacting to. It's the unpleasantness in your embodiment that you're reacting to. That leads to arguing, fighting back. We are constantly reacting to ourselves, not the world out there. And we blame the world for our misery. We blame the world out there for our suffering. But what is happening in reality? It's us. Constantly reacting to pleasant feelings and unpleasant feelings. Constantly trying to want more of the pleasant feelings, wanting to push away the unpleasant feelings. And we create misery. So, if we want to change our life from misery to mastery, stay in touch with your feelings. Period. And that's why we are doing that meditation. We are increasing our sensitivity by constantly moving our attention from back to front, from top to bottom, bottom to top, top to bottom, bottom to top. So we are able to feel the feelings. We're able to feel whatever arises in the embodiment. Whatever it may be. A feeling because of a bad memory, a feeling because of an external stimuli, it could be anything. We have to quickly catch that feeling. If we can do that, then we can really master our life.
What do you do if you fall into an unconsciousness when you're doing that meditation? Because then you're not feeling anything, it's like you're asleep.
Right. So you're not meditating.
What can you do so that you don't do that?
You have to practice is the answer. And based on my experience, I realized that if I do a little bit of yoga or the temple kung fu practice, you also practice kung fu, right? I mean, martial arts.
Kempo, yeah.
Do a little bit of exercise, a lot of breathing workout, and then go into your meditation. Then there is less probability that you'll fall asleep. Like I said, boredom is one of the hindrances, sloth, torpor, and boredom, you know. So you'll constantly struggle with that. If you fall sleepy, unconscious, when you become conscious, realize that you felt sleepy, unconscious. Try again. Keep trying. Keep trying. No striving, no aversion to any failure. Just keep trying. Again and again. Let's do another
experiment.
Oops. Look at that picture and tell me how you feel. How you feel. Pleasant, unpleasant, ecstasy. Some of you have already done this once, but what do you feel when you look at that picture?
A little bit of confusion. I can't tell what exactly is going on. It's like a burn or...
Yeah. There's some unpleasantness, right? Some distaste. So a little bit of aversion there. You don't want it, right? If you are a doctor and see a patient like this, you will probably see even worse things like than this. Or if you are a Red Cross volunteer working in the war field, you know, if you react to such scenes, what can you do? Not much, right? So the moment you see something really disgusting, unpleasant feeling arises. Quickly catch that. Every feeling, every thought, every emotion, every experience, everything that exists in the realm of existence is impermanent. That's its essential nature. So, you look at something unpleasant, you feel unpleasant, realize that it is going to be impermanent, it's not going to last forever. The moment you arouse that wisdom of impermanence, for some reason that aversion ceases, it passes away, it loses strength. That's the quality of wisdom there. Wisdom always has that active parameter in it. It facilitates dissolution of unpleasant phenomena, dissolution of unwholesome phenomena.
I felt compassion.
Great. Why you felt compassion? Because you did not react.
Yeah.
Or, in other words, because unpleasant feeling did not arise, or unpleasant feeling arose, but you were aware. And that awareness, and last time we discussed, awareness has an active parameter, equanimity has an active parameter. That's compassion. So that's the beauty of practicing a meditation, which makes you so sensitive to your feelings, whatever happens in your embodiment. We're always in touch with what is happening. When I say embodiment, doesn't mean body. It means mind-body. Please make a note of that. It's mind-body. Embodiment is mind-body with the predominance of body. But it is mind-body, not body. So when you're feeling the feelings, as you're moving your awareness from top to bottom, bottom to top, or as you're seeing the scenery of the world, right? We see good scenes, bad scenes, you know? Such a big drama we see all the time, right? And we react because some things are pleasant, some things are unpleasant. We are not reacting to the scenery of the world, but to ourselves, to our feelings that are arising because of the external stimuli.
But isn't the purpose of meditation eliminating feelings, good or bad?
Transcending feelings, not eliminating. Okay. Because elimination of feeling means death. You cannot eliminate feelings. Otherwise we would not be, like I said, feeling is the foremost element of experience. Without feeling there is no awareness, there is no consciousness. Feeling is the direct and thorough experience of whatever happens at the level of body, mind or consciousness. It's a mental touch there. You know, whenever external world and the internal world, or the internal world and the sub-internal world, whenever they come together, bang, there's a feeling. It's a meeting place between mind and matter. You can think of that way. Actually, sensation is a meeting place between mind and matter. And sensation leads to a feeling. But it's hard to grab the sensation, because it's so extremely subtle. You can't grab the sensation before you react to it. So what do? You grab a feeling. You get hold of the feeling, master your feelings, then you can master your emotions, your moods, yourself.
So when we're doing our practice, like today, and you talk about that we might, when we stop doing some of the breath, that we might feel some pleasure, and you say to let go of that pleasure.
Right.
So are you connecting that, this as well, when we're seeing something that is pleasurable,
like
that
this,
brings pleasure to us, are you saying the same thing, that it is, you're not advising us to continue to feel that pleasure, but rather to try to let that go as well?
Right. But, see, this is very, very important to understand that when we experience pleasureness, letting go means neither shoveling it out of your embodiment or shoving it in. Letting go means letting it happen. So when there is a pleasant feeling, like right now, right, there is some pleasantness we all are experiencing. Allow that pleasantness to arise and cease. Allow that pleasantness to gladden the mind and move on. Because there is a lot more to experience beyond pleasantness. If you just get stuck in pleasureness, you will never experience rapture. You will never experience ecstasy. If you get stuck in ecstasy, you will not experience bliss. Okay? Don't you want to experience higher states, more and more subtler and more sublime states? So in order for that to happen, you have to even let delight, let pleasureness come and go. Let it gladden the mind. Let it energize you and move on. It's like from 5th grade to 6th grade, right? From elementary to middle school. We graduate, right? If you just attach yourself or get stuck in your elementary school, you will never be able to evolve. When you let go of your elementary school and go to your middle school or high school, what is happening? You're graduating from. You're not abandoning your elementary school. There's no abandonment here. It's graduating from, it's transcending, going beyond. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just trying to, on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute basis, just trying to get an idea of what you were meaning.
You see, you look at a sunset, okay? When you look at a sunset, a very beautiful sunset or a rainbow, it's very natural to experience a pleasant feeling. Get in touch with that pleasant feeling. Just observe that feeling. That's all. That's it. You'll notice that it will energize the embodiment and cease. Because if you get stuck with it, and when it is not available, then suffering arises. That's the whole problem behind getting stuck to pleasureness. Nothing is permanent in the world. If you get stuck to pleasureness, and because pleasureness is not permanent, you're going to suffer, right? Something happened very nice to you, you know, you get a nice, if you have your own business, I had two, and I have experienced this all the time, when your client pays you and you get a nice, you know, check in the mail. It's such a great feeling. If you get stuck to it, then when your client doesn't pay you, then you burn and you are just so miserable, so miserable. So just experience that accomplishment. I finished the project, my client paid me for that. Move on.
Okay, when you have a pleasant feeling, you let a cloud in the mind. Okay, I understand that. What if it's an unpleasant feeling? You don't want it to oppress the mind.
Right.
So what do you do?
You just observe it as it arises. And because anything that arises has the nature of cessation, meaning has nature of impermanence, it will pass away. In fact, the awareness expedites that process. And you can only understand this experientially, no matter how much I tell you. And as it is, whatever I tell you, you should not accept it, you know, just blindly. Neither reject it. Experiment with it, and you will experientially understand. Next time when there is unpleasantness, quickly get in touch with it. And if you do the meditation we just did, you will be able to do that. And then notice. Anger, for example. When there is anger, there is burnings in the body. They like burn. There is so much unpleasantness. If you quickly get in touch with that burning sensation, so very quickly the anger subsides. Very, very quick. That's my personal experience.
But the problem is sometimes these unpleasant feelings or unpleasant activity or whatever you call it, they take a much longer time to see. For example, joblessness.
Mm-hmm.
A person who loses a job, or a person who lost a lot of their 401k in the last financial crisis.
Right.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the feelings or the frustration that you have worked all your life for so many years,
right.
And suddenly you're in your 50s or whatever, you lost your job after 10 years of working,
mm-hmm.
or
right,
lost a large chunk of your 401k, a large chunk of your portfolio.
You keep observing the unpleasantness. What the
Even
first thing?
Observing doesn't help you pay the bills.
It does because it increases your reaction time. You can really understand this if you really apply this principle. It literally increases your reaction time. You know, you're not going to hit the bar and drink.
You know, people do.
Right, because they are reacting to that unpleasantness. But if you don't, then you have some time gap there. Everything happens in that beautiful gap. Misery to mastery. Wisdom to stupidity. Everything in that gap. You'll have more reaction time and you will take a better decision. You know? You don't have other option, like you said. Worrying is not an option. Right? So the only option you have is to allow the feeling to arise and cease so that you can take a wise decision.
It's almost like, where's your attention? Is your attention on the problem? Is your attention on the solution?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. She said, it will shift your awareness from the problem to solution. Mm-hmm. Just because you are in touch with your feelings. It's basically being in touch with yourself. Really, that's all it called. Or not allowing the subconscious to rule your life.
How about eliminating, putting a qualification to a feeling that this is pleasant versus this is unpleasant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could that be the objective of meditation?
No. Feeling is an inherent mental phenomenon. It has its own intrinsic nature, its characteristic, its function, its manifestation, its proximate cause. Every single mental phenomena has those four defining criteria.
Isn't it the conditioning of the mind that interprets the feeling,
mm-hmm.
whether it's positive or negative?
No. If you look at this, that unpleasant picture, and if you force yourself to feel good, nothing is going to happen.
Good nor bad. I'm saying it's just, noting that it's a feeling.
Right. So, that's a very good question. So, this is what happens. The more and more you master your feelings, the more and more you develop equanimity towards, pleasant and unpleasant feeling, a third kind of feeling starts to manifest. And it's called a neutral feeling, which is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It's a very sublime feeling. And one taste of that feeling is peace. If you really want to experience peace, really want to experientially know what peace is, not through some pep talk or through reading a book, but experientially know what is this thing called peace. Master your unpleasant feelings, master your pleasant feelings, then what will arise is called a neutral feeling, the third column, which is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It's not a blind feeling, it's not a blank feeling. It's not feeling. It's a sublime feeling, a transcendental feeling. Another issue word is transcendence. We all talk about transcendence, right? Barnes and Noble is filled with volumes and volumes on transcendence. But how to experience that? What is transcendence? Experientially know that. This is the way. And equanimity is one of those spiritual emotions which are rooted, which are grounded in the neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings.
And all this will happen just like meditation is the way to do all everything you're saying.
Right, because it's all about mind. The only way to fix the mind is mind. Okay? You can enter through body or you can enter through mind, but a non-material, an intangible phenomenon, you have to use mind to fix the mind.
So put it in a simpler terms, is it not like learning non-reaction?
Correct. That's exactly what we are doing. So that's why we call our meditation. That's why you have that's exactly what we practice. You are basically using the practice of non-reaction. That's what your question is, right?
Yeah.
You are practicing non-reaction so that you master your feelings, so that equanimity can arise. You don't try to neutralize the feeling. You can't, that's not what you're doing. You are letting it arise because of non-reaction. That's the key. For example, if somebody has addiction, let's say smoking or alcohol, right? So, you know, you see a cigarette, right? And then you grab the cigarette. You smoke, right? And you think it's the cigarette that is to blame. But it's not the cigarette, neither your red wine. It's that sting, you know? Especially with any addiction, there's this unique kind of feeling. It's called a sting. It's a sting in your embodiment. You want that kick out of it. And so you grab your drink or your cigarette. It gives you a kick, you know. You're not addicted to the substance. You're addicted to that kick, addicted to that sting. And so how do you get rid of addictions? By observing that sting, letting it arise and pass away, letting it come and go. Slowly, slowly, you will not react to any substance, you'll get rid of your addiction. I call it sting operation.
Mm-hmm. But that can be true of any kind of addiction. You could be addicted to peanuts.
Oh, absolutely. Anything.
Or food. That's what a lot of people put on a lot of weight and all that because they are addicted to food or junk food.
Makes you feel good. I mean, can you believe this? We know that smoking is harmful to health. And we know that. Still we smoke. Why? It's that sting, that kick we are addicted to.
Well, the body's used to the smoke. It's, you know, so the body's saying, I need a cigarette, because it's used to the cigarette.
It's the mind. Feeling is a through and throughout a mental phenomenon. So, no matter how much the psychologist will, or the psychiatrist will work on the addiction issue and come up with all kinds of pills, you will be only treating the symptoms of the addiction, not the addiction itself. The pill only treats the physical symptoms, not the addiction itself. If at all there is some kind of a drug, some physical way of doing it, then it's like just cutting the branch of a tree and not uprooting the tree. So the wise way is to uproot anything that is unwholesome, not just cut.
But they say the cure for all any kind of addiction, whether it is food or drugs or alcohol, the cure arises only when you personally look into the mirror one day and say, this is not what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is overweight or an alcoholic or smoking addict.
Right.
I don't want to be an ashtray, for example.
Yeah.
You take the feeling that I want to quit smoking.
When that happens,
then you react to that accordingly.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to be an ashtray for anybody anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to smell like an ashtray.
Right.
And here I am, therefore I'm going to quit smoking.
That happens to a lot of people. They suffer so much that one day they wake up.
Hitting the bottom.
Yeah, hitting the bottom. And then they start different ways of figuring out things. So actually the day when you hit the bottom, that day the evolution begins, you know. That's a very, very auspicious day.
But you can't get rid of the cigarette, even if you know that, you can't get rid of the cigarette without knowing that you're going to go through something. That's the hard part. It's not...
Right.
Your body's going to react.
I don't know if now's the time, but maybe afterward. I have information about that and a book that's been very helpful for people, and it's addressing that exact issue. And so maybe we can, if anybody wants to hear about it, but I just don't think it's now's the time to.
But in general, sure. But in general, my suggestion is to combine your psychiatric treatment with spiritual treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic combination. It's just, it really expedites your recovery, you know, in anything, you know. This practice is one of the many tools that are available out there, right? But in my opinion, this is an essential tool. Make this as a foundation and then add other stuff to it.
I wanted to ask you, when you're dealing with chronic pain, in the past I've had, I went through periods, long periods of time, years of chronic pain. And what I found was, yes, I agree totally with that you have to sit and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was impossible for me to sit and feel it. And feel it, and feel it, and feel it. I had to do something to shift, to give myself a rest from feeling and consciously being totally aware of that, to move into something that was more of a pleasurable thing, so that then that would give me some time to recover
from
feeling the pain. And then I'd have to go back and I'd feel it, of course, again, because it was still there.
Right.
So there was, when it's a physical pain like that, to me it's not quite as simple as just feeling it and letting it go, because
Absolutely.
It doesn't go.
Absolutely. So what you do is, let's say, like, and we actually have practiced this in our yogic practice. What you do is you like stand in this horse posture. I'm sure you're aware of this. Yeah. And so there is that burning here, right? 1 minute, maybe 30 seconds, 1 minute. You might be able to sit for five minutes. but then, okay, so that intensity of unpleasantness is arising. If you're aware of that, then you will not allow it to go to the extent of pain. You will let it arise only until it doesn't aggravate to pain. Okay? So you constantly expand your zone of comfort, but do not allow it to result in pain. So for first day you stand in the posture for 10 seconds. Let it aggravate, but not to the degree of pain. Because when it aggravates to the degree of pain, then there is aversion. You don't want to develop aversion. Slowly you expand your comfort zone. First day 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Slowly going up. And a day will come. A day will come when you will be able to transcend pain. From not being able to sit there for 10 seconds, and you can relate to that, I can relate to that. From not being able to stand just for 10 seconds to stand for 2 minutes, you know, but not fighting it. Very skillfully, very wisely expanding your comfort zone and transcend the pain. And this process is called the refinement of pain. It's a process of refinement, not pain control.
Can I say something from a from a medical standpoint? Sometimes you have to take an intervention to break the cycle in order to get somebody to have an experience without it. And then you can start working on, you know, the other parts of it is to, you know, get that cycle of pain to be somewhat different so that it can become something that one can become aware of it's coming and going. But when it's absolutely, constantly embodied, you've got to do something pretty dramatic to break that cycle.
Right.
I've seen it, you know, it can actually...
No, you have to change the conditions, absolutely.
Yeah.
For example, this is very important, this is a very relevant issue for all those who meditate. You're sitting in a meditation posture and then after some time your knees really start burning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your ankles. Don't allow it to burn too much and fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Very knowingly, with awareness, change your posture and then keep on meditating. Ascetics, what ascetics do, they will fight the pain.
Mm-hmm.
That is false asceticism. If you want to be truly an ascetic, you master your feelings. That's the true asceticism. There is pain, there is unpleasantness, you just change the conditions,
but
like you said.
So Mary's saying, at one point, say you have chronic back pain, like at one point you say, maybe you need to grab a Vicodin.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you say.
Yeah,
the pain is so intense. First,
yeah.
Eat that, and then try these.
Right. There's a lot to be said about these issues. They're very interesting, very fascinating. So we'll continue next week.
Okay.